Kevin Chapeldayoff, Ken Weeb from sportsnet.ca will start us off.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for taking the time. How did Dylan DeMello and Cody Eakin end up on your radar going into the trade deadline?
Well, obviously, going back to that period of time, we were looking at our situation and looking at what we felt was out there that might be the best fits for us with respect to, I think primarily we were first looking at to see if there was an opportunity to get a defenseman. Given the state of the injuries that we were faced at that point in time, and obviously the different circumstances and situations surrounding our defense, so we looked at a lot of different options, and you know, Dylan was a good fit. He was we talked a lot about how we wanted that person to be able to play and what role he wanted, and so that was a really good fit. We turned our attention to forward at that point in time, and. It was interesting because Cody was someone that we had kind of talked about but never really anticipated that would be available, and when he did come available, we thought long and hard about it and knew that it was going to be a good fit from a lot of different perspectives. He's the type of player that draws people into the fight. And was going to be a good compliment, we felt, from a experienced leadership and certainly from a playing perspective as well. So they were good fits. We were able to make the deals, and they fit in very, very well.
Just shifting gears to Mark Scheifele, what do you remember about the first meeting with Mark, and what's it like to see his evolution as a player?
Well, the very first meeting I had with Mark was, in a hotel ballroom, much, I guess like the ballrooms that we're sitting in here right now. It was at the draft. We had just taken over the team, a couple of weeks prior and talked about the type of players that we wanted to bring into the organization and what we felt. And again, our scouts, after having the meetings, that we had internally, felt very, very strongly about this player, that if he was going to be available, that, we should, take the opportunity to draft him. So, it seems like only yesterday when we were sitting there and talking, and what came through first and foremost was Mark's love for the game. It's an interesting thing, because that love of the game, I think, has only grown for him. And I think it's what drives him. I think it's what propels him to be the type of player that he is, certainly on the ice, his talent is exceptional. But it's off the ice where, his love for the game and his drive for the game, even shines through even more. He's he does whatever he can to be the best player that he can be, and that really shone through in the interviews. Actually, it's a good segue for me to talk a little bit about something that I wanted to make sure that I got in the interview here today. Dale Hawerchuk was a very big supporter of Mark Scheifele when we went through the draft process and had lots of conversations, and Dale's going through a tough time right now. And we as an organization are here to support him. And we wish him all the best in his fight. And he's one of our family. And we're with you, Dale.
Thanks very much, Jetty. Move to Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun.
Hi, Kevin. I'm just wondering if you can share a little bit about why you think Blake Wheeler got the nomination for the King Clancy Award, some of the reasons for that.
Well, his leadership, is something that is talked about, quite a bit. I think just being around him, and you see him, and you see how he carries himself and what he means, to the players in the room and the team in general. But it's his off-ice, commitment to, being the father that he is, being the person that he is, just some of the things that he's, the initiatives that him and his wife Sam have taken upon themselves, wheeling with the Wheelers, in the community. There's lots of little things that go on that a lot of people don't see, and You know, Blake is a driver of a lot of those things. So I think it's a real worthy nomination.
And just one more from me, Kevin. You're obviously inside the bubble now, and you're got a set playoff roster. What's your role like, and how's it different from what you normally would do as GM of an NHL team?
Well, you know, during after the trade deadline and during the playoffs, the role of a general manager does change, a little differently. There's still day-to-day things that we have to take care of, with respect to the rest of the organization, be it on the amateur side, be it on the pro side. The interesting thing about being in the bubble here is, from a scouting perspective here right now, obviously their first game is tonight, but there's going to be, two or three games a day that we can watch live. And there's not really ever an opportunity for management or scouts to be able to see that number of games live. So I think it's a huge opportunity to be able to scout, get an opportunity to see players firsthand that you do get to see them, but when you're watching your own team play another team, it's a little bit different. But when you get the chance to just be a scout in the stands, so to speak, I think it's a huge for a general manager. So I'm really looking forward to that.
We'll go with Brian Munns from TSN 1290.
Chevy, much like you talked about with Mark, can you kind of go through the evolution here of your starting goaltender and Connor Hellebuck and how you've seen him develop both on and off the ice into a goalie now that's well-recognized around the entire NHL?
Well, the great story about, Connor going back to from the draft perspective was Rick St. Croix, our goaltender, coach at the Moose level and organizational level, does a lot of scouting for us as well. We sent him to go and scout, some goalies at a camp when he came back, he debriefed us and he talked about a lot of them and he said, I like this guy and I like this guy. He said, but man, I really like this guy. And he was speaking about Connor Hellebuck and, so that really made an impression, I think, on, on our staff and on our scouting staff and kind of really, piqued our interest in being able to try and draft him and get him into our organization. And he's checked off all the boxes is what he's done. He came, he had a great college career, put up some fantastic numbers there, learned a lot, I think, at the college level, turned pro and did all the things that he needed to do there. He went to the American Hockey League, he dominated at that level. I think, again, we made that decision internally that we were going to give him the opportunity to be, the number one goalie of our team. And we talked to our players at that time, and because we had a veteran, goaltender in Andre Pavlik, who still had another year left on his contract. And we talked to the veterans and said, this is our plan. Our plan is to make sure that, when we're sitting here 1 year from that conversation we were having from them, that Connor Hellebuck wasn't going to be a rookie. He wasn't going to be that guy that still needed to play in the NHL. Whatever that situation was going to be, we were going to, live with it. And I think that's where really Connor just took it upon himself and grew. And, he's done an exceptional job of learning about himself and what it takes for him to prepare, what it takes for him to do the things he needs to do in the off season to, strengthen himself and do the things that goalies need to do to get better, because it is a different kind of training than just than a regular player. So I'm real excited for him, to have the nomination, and win or lose, he's our Vezina winner for sure.
And last one for me, obviously, or have a really good idea as to what your roster is going to look like going into the Calgary series. From your standpoint, anything specific you'll watch for in the game tomorrow night against Vancouver?
I'm just excited for it, quite honestly, to get to see the guys. I didn't have a lot of opportunity to see them in training camp because of the way the bubble system worked in Winnipeg. We felt it was more important. You were only allowed to have 20 staff members around, you know, the team. So we felt it was more important that we had the support staff and, you know, the medical staff around so that the guys could feel comfortable. So I didn't actually go into that bubble situation there, tested every day, but, you know, didn't go through that, that process. So this is really the first time for me to see our group back and you know, seeing them at practice yesterday, seeing the fun that they had on the ice, you know, at the end of practice, playing games. I think it really underscores, you know, I think how much everyone missed being together, but everyone missed, you know, the sport. So I don't know that it'll get too technical tomorrow against Vancouver, but, you know, certainly when the puck drops against Calgary, it's going to be for real.
And we'll go with Stephen Wino from the Associated Press.
Hey, Kevin, just following up on a question from Ken earlier. When you got these deadline guys and Dylan and Cody, how much can the pause and coming back help those guys, kind of, since they know the system and everything already?
You know, again, it's you know, I think as a group, I think, you know, we only had them for a short period of time. I think it was 8 games or something like that we played, you know, from the deadline prior to, you know, to the pause. But, you know, I think it was a tight group. I know that they, I think they got together a couple times on different Zoom calls and the like. Cody, being from Winnipeg, you know, had the opportunity to run into him actually quite a bit, you know, throughout the course of the pause. So, you know, it's interesting, you know, until Ken asked that question, it was almost like I forgot that we traded for them, because they just fit in so well. They just fit in so nicely. It feels like they've been part of the group from, you know, from the beginning. And maybe it's because, you know, you pause and you have the restart, you know, that we do here right now, that everybody's on that even footing.
With UC Saarinen from Wiley.
Hello, Kevin, from Finland.
Hello.
Hello. One question regarding Patrick Laine so far. What kind of conversations and talks you've had with Patrick during the training camp? And secondly, what kind of expectations you have for him when the playoffs starts?
Well, personally, I haven't been around, you know, the players very, very much. As I mentioned, you know, I wasn't, you know, in the training camp bubble, so to speak, to let more staff members around them. So I haven't had a lot of, you know, kind of personal one-on-one conversations with them. But talking with Paul, you know, and the coach and that, I think, you know, Patrick's the type of guy that I think, you know, loves to play and is looking forward to, you know, getting back out there and competing. I think that, you know, one thing I think that the pause kind of does is, and I don't even know if I'll be able to explain it, you know, properly, but we had so much time off in between, it almost seems like it's a new year. And, you know, so you know, a lot of times during the summer, you have time to reflect and you have time to grow and you have time to work out and heal. You know, so you've never had that type of situation here right now. So we're kind of in the restart here. I think, you know, a guy like Patrick, will help him. I think, you know, again, he's a very young person still. So any time that your body can, have that rest, have that recovery, your mind can have that opportunity to, you know, kind of stop, reflect, and then move forward again in the same season, I think it'll help. And I think it's really going to help a player like Patrick because, again, he is such a young person still.
We'll go with Mike McIntyre from the Free Press for one.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, Mike.
The NHL is getting a lot of praise, well-deserved praise, I think, for how they've handled this whole return to play plan, especially you look at some of the other sports. MLB, which doesn't have the bubble situation, is having a lot of trouble right now. Just want your thoughts now that you're in the hub city, now that you're inside the bubble, just your impressions of what the league has been able to sort of pull off here in relative short order.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you're you're kind of one step removed from all of it. And they're doing all the preparation, they're doing all the work. You know, you sit there and you wonder, man, you know, it's amazing what they're you know, getting accomplished here, and getting through phase three like we did, you know, with respect to the testing, you know, the protocols. Like if you can see what the trainers go through with respect to the cleaning of the dressing rooms, the details that you know, are everything that are laid out, it's nothing short of remarkable. And then when you get here and you see all those plans that were put into place that were just on paper, that obviously hours and hours and hours were spent on doing, and you see it run as smoothly as it has, you know, just from a logistics standpoint, you know, it's amazing. You know, again, my hat goes off to, you know, to the people that did, you know, a lot of the heavy lifting on the planning side of it. And then when you know, I'm excited for the fans to see the inside of the building. You know, I got a chance to go in yesterday, and, you know, we have a suite where we can watch the games, and they were doing some of the, you know, the in-arena presentation kind of dry runs and stuff like that. And I was excited. Like it's you know, for no fans in the building, to see, you know, the energy that they were able to generate, just in their dry runs. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how the it unfolds during the game. So, they've done a great job. There's a lot of work ahead of us here. Testing went well yesterday from a standpoint of getting through it. And again, a massive amount of planning, you know, that still needs to continue to go.
And to end things off, Maratesh from The Athletic.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for doing this. Good morning.
Morning.
In terms of the season that you guys had, those last 2 weeks, it seemed guys were getting healthy. You had Lowry and Perreault come back to the lineup, then those trade deadline acquisitions you made. How excited or how does it feel to finally kind of get to see the full, almost entirely healthy version of the team you spent a year building to and tinkering on?
Well, again, I think it is nice to see, you know, players recover from injury and get a chance to, you know, to heal in those regards. But every team is going to be like that as well. So I think it's important that, you know, we understand that, you know, you talk about a season and you talk about the regular season, and you've heard it many, many times where, you know, it's been referred to as, you know, it's a marathon. Well, we better be prepared to sprint. And that's what it is right now, because, you know, you're hitting the ground, you're hitting the ice, you're in full fledged playoffs. And, you know, regardless of what happened in the last 2 weeks of, you know, before the pause, certainly, I think it shows, you know, what's in this group. And I think, you know, the fact of, you know, the fact that, again, the disruptions that have happened within our organization this year, none of which were planned, and the way that the players were so resilient, and the way that they chose never to, you know, use it as an excuse or use anything that we were faced with a challenge as an excuse, and stayed in the fight and did the things that they needed to do. I really believe that that's going to help us right now, and you know, I hope they're ready to show what they've been showing all season.